Hey, college basketball fans, it's time for the Valley Hoops Insider Radio Show and Podcast. I'm your host, Terry Schrader, and I am privileged to write and talk about the Missouri Valley and Ohio Valley basketball conferences. We talk to players, coaches, media members, yep, and the fans about the Valley and the OVC. Stick around. We have a great show for you today. The Valley Hoops Insider Radio Show and Podcast wants you to know about our friend Ben Yates at Don Brown Chevrolet. A great salesman with great products, that's Ben Yates at Don Brown Chevrolet. The One Puede Project is a missions organization helping special needs and terminally ill children in West Africa. And you should join the Upside app. You'll get cash back on gas, groceries, and a whole lot more. Use the invite code HARRY5474. Welcome to the Valley Hoops Insider Podcast, part of the Valley Hoops Insider website. Harry Schrader with you again today. And we're privileged today to have a great guest, the head coach of the Tennessee Martin Skyhawks. The Skyhawks, 17 wins on the regular season. They're a game out of first place. The head coach, Ryan Ritter, joins us. And Ryan, we've talked before, but it's just a great privilege for me to have you on. I so appreciate what you're doing there at Tennessee Martin.
Well, hey, thanks so much for having me on, and always love getting a chance to talk with you as well.
17-10, big win though over the weekend against Morehead State. Is that the signature win of the season for you guys? And it had to be kind of a get over the hump kind of a win.
Yeah, it's funny. The season, there's so many ebbs and flows to it. So right when you start thinking things are clicking, then you get humbled, and right when you're having some humbling moments, you get a pick me up. So. Our guys have really played well the last month of the season. I think we've won 7 of 8, and obviously getting a chance to beat Morehead and bring us within one game of first place, I think, kind of solidified that, hey, we got a real chance to play well and maybe make a run in March. But the reality is our guys have just really come and punched the clock and kind of focused on a one game at a time. And that result was great for us for confidence, but definitely an exciting day for us over here, Martin.
8 wins in your first season, 19 in the second, 17 and counting right now. The program's headed in the right direction. Can you look at a couple of different kind of building blocks? These are the things we've been building on, and that's maybe why we're succeeding.
Yeah, I kind of alluded to it. That first year was tough. We were coming out of COVID, and we didn't get a chance to meet our roster. We had 14 new guys, had no returns. We didn't get a chance to meet any of the guys until actually the first day of summer classes. Never seen any of them live except KJ Simon, who came with me from Bethune-Cookman. So that was a transition year. But I say this all the time, that locker room was really good. We just couldn't get the results that we ultimately were hoping for. And so from 8 to 19 wins, we did a heck of a job, I think, recruiting, obviously bringing Parker Stewart back here and signing Jordan Sears along with some other guys. So I think the talent level had increased from year 1 to 2. But now you're starting to see the culture and the program. And from year 2 to 3, you have a lot of guys. We've got 6 guys in that locker room who've played a lot of minutes and have been in a lot of situations for us, good and bad. And I think that's why you're seeing late in the year, we're playing our best basketball here in our third year in the program.
How big was it, the extension the university gave you on your contract last summer? I know that I've talked to a lot of coaches about that. It settles some things. It sends a message to players. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, first thing, I'm just extremely appreciative. I'm grateful. Those are hard to come by. And I think it shows, a continued support from the university. Obviously, we had a president, Dr. Keith Carver, Chancellor Dr. Keith Carver, that ultimately ended up taking a new role. So anytime there's transition, you're always, a little uneasy as a head coach. Yeah. We're able to hire, have an unbelievable hire with Dr. Yancey Freeman coming in as our chancellor. And so the continued growth of UT Martin, not just basketball wise, has been really good. Our leadership, Kurt McGuffin, is as good of athletic director as I've been around. So for them to show commitment to what we're doing here in our basketball program, by rewarding us with, 4 additional years. I'm actually 5 additional years. Pretty fired up as a family and a program to call Martin home right now.
Yeah, no, that's super exciting. I was very happy when I read that. I know that you left Bethune-Cookman, that they canceled all their sports during COVID, but how similar are the 3 years there to the 3 years here?
Well, they're very similar. Felt like, we had taken over a program at Bethune-Cookman that was maybe struggling a little bit in the win-loss record, but we were able to turn that thing a little quicker. You know, obviously able to win a regular season championship in our first year, but we sustained success, and you know, we're a top three or four program every year, all 3 years there. And very similar, you know, we're having to recruit an almost entirely new roster, and then feeling like, you know, we've had some you know, continuity, feeling like we know the league a little bit better, feel like we can compete and play our best basketball here, you know, late February. So I think the thing with Martin, it just took a little longer to figure out in that first year, you know, not having a chance to meet a lot of our players. But you know, there's some definite similarities where we've got great administration at the highest levels on both sides and give us an opportunity to work as a staff.
I could go down a bad rabbit hole here and talk a lot about Parker and what you guys did for him last year and what he did for you. I'll try to avoid that because we've talked about it before, but I just have such admiration for the way you guys handled all that and don't want to drive by without at least mentioning it. But it does lead me to this point. Family is really important to you. You finished your playing career with your dad. You have your brother and your brother-in-law on the staff there. Just talk about the whole family feel of what you guys do and the way you go about things.
Well, I'll give you a quick 10-second update on Parker just because I know it's okay. It's of interest. So, man, me and Parker, I really did enjoy coaching him, but I love the relationship we have life after basketball. One of my favorite guys, you know, we text probably 2-3 times a week just, you know, to make sure that each one's doing okay. You know, he knows it's a long season. He'll check up on me, and I know he's got a lot of things going on, so I'll check up on him. But that's been a really special story for him to come and be with family. But you said it, man. Family is one of my top priorities. I've got an unbelievable wife, 3 beautiful daughters, and been very fortunate to grow up in the game of basketball with my dad being a longtime Division II coach. And then got my brother on staff and not necessarily blood related, but, you know, I've got my college roommate on staff. I've got a guy that I coached on staff when I was at Daytona State, and he actually played for my dad. So when we say the term family, man, I think, you know, a lot of these programs say family, and I'm not in their locker rooms, but I know we mean it when we say it. And it's been a real blessing here the last 2 years, especially, you know, to work with my brother on staff.
Yeah, I think I said brother-in-law. The one coach was like the best man in your wedding, or you were the best man in his, something like that.
Well, he was so he's actually my college teammate, my college roommate. And he went out and, you know, had his way a little bit, was out in Kansas and Montana. And then he worked for, you know, Chris Beard down at Texas Tech. And then I got him back at Bethune-Cookman. And yeah, one of my best friends. And so we've got a very close dynamic on the staff.
What are the building blocks? I mean, like, I hear coaches talk culture and this, that, and the other thing. Are there 2 or 3 kind of Skyhawk maxims that, you know, you guys are saying to them every day?
Yeah, very simple. Tough, together, unselfish. Tough, together, unselfish. The game may be changing. There's NLI and there's portal and there's this and there's that. You know, the truth is the tough, together, unselfish teams always find a way to rise to the top. And it looks different every day. It looks different every game. But the truth is we've got a really collective tight end group right now that's watch us play. You can see we're connected. A lot of unselfishness out there, guys that are trying to find ways to win for each other. And it's just been a lot of fun to coach.
You talk about unselfishness, and I think of a guy like Curry that's on your team who has been, man, one of the top guys in your rotation, and now he finds himself third, fourth maybe on the scoring list. He's doing that a little bit by example, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, you look at KK Curry, Kobe Jeffries, David Kamwanga. They've been with us all 3 years, and they are playing tremendous minutes for us. And, yeah, their individual production may not be as high as maybe everyone anticipated it. But the truth is, like, there's no one that can say those guys aren't sacrificing for the betterment of the team. And I think that's what makes a really good team when KK Curry is your fourth option, or Kobe Jeffries, who started 32 games for us 1 year, is coming off the bench. I mean, those are real sacrifices that guys are making. And I know they understand how equally important it is for those guys to you know, lead by example. And that's why we got a chance down the stretch.
You got a great race going on. Moorhead's a game in front of you and 2 other teams with 4 games left. And this is what you signed up for, right? To just be in the championship race with 2 weeks left.
Well, I think I you know, again, you got to take care of what you can control, and we've got to focus on Lindenwood and the remainder of our games. But the truth is, for the rest of my coaching career, if someone said, "Hey, you're going to be 1 game out of first place, and there's 2 weeks to go in the season," I think I'd sign up for that every single year and be pretty fired up about it. Obviously, you know, some things have to go our way, but feel really good about the brand of basketball we're playing right now.
Jordan Sears, you mentioned bringing him in a year ago, and he's just had a terrific 2 years for you, you know, so far. Still has things to do and things to accomplish. About 20 points a game, but he's electric, can shoot it from deep. He's good with the ball in his hands. He sets up his teammates. Talk about Jordan.
Jordan's the best, man. He ultimate winner. I mean, absolutely ultimate winner. Our team has a toughness component to it, and a lot of that's lead by example by our point guard, Jordan Sears. You know, obviously you can see the numbers jump out. He's shooting 45% from three and averaging 20 a game and, you know, almost four or five assists and rebounds a game. But he brings it every day. I mean, played three straight games, 40 minutes. He really is a tough win-first mentality guy. And he's a guy I've known since he was 7, 8 years old. He's from Daytona Beach, and we've got a special relationship, and fired up that he's here with us leading our troops.
Daytona Beach, you were at Daytona State, had great success at Daytona State as well. Jacob Cruz is this week's player and newcomer of the week in the Ohio Valley Conference. Talk about Jacob.
Oh, man. Jacob is he's a special talent. We knew we signed him early in junior college. We signed him in the fall. And had he not signed with us, man, it would have been really tough to get him here late. But, man, he's 6'8". He can score it. He can shoot it. He offensive rebounds. You know, when you've got Jordan and Jacob out there together, you've got two guys that are solely focused on winning basketball games, and they're growing and getting and playing better together, along with, you know, Issa Muhammad and the rest of our cast in there. But, you know, Jacob's special. He's got a real translatable skill set. He's going to be able to play this game for a long time.
I think about 8 rebounds a game. You mentioned he's 6'8". He's shooting like 44% from deep. That translates.
Yeah, and he shoots it from deep. He shoots it high. He doesn't need a lot of space. And you know, it's fun to watch him. You know, he was at North Florida for a year and a half and ultimately ended up going junior college. It's fun to watch him step into a new role back in the Division I level. And, you know, he's the first or second guy on team scout now, and kind of figured that out the first 3 or 4 games of conference. And now he's figuring out how to continue to be productive. And, yeah, I'm expecting a big last couple of weeks from him.
You mentioned Muhammad. He's scoring double digits for you. I second or third in the league in rebounding. But you got to have that guy, don't you? You have to have that guy that can go clean the glass.
Well, he's just a force. And, I think, you know, again, he's averaging right around 12 points, 9 rebounds a game. But his impact is so much bigger than numbers. I mean, he's 6'9", 250. He runs up and down the floor. He can guard ball screens. But, you know, the thing he does the best, he's the ultimate connector of teammates. When he's out there on the floor, the first guy hitting the deck, he's the first one grabbing him. He's always got his arms around guys, always moving guys to the next play. And that's unique to have a 6'9", 250-pound fifth-year transfer that's averaging 12-9 be that good of a teammate. And that's why, you know, our guys have really rallied around each other. And you know, he's having a heck of a year for us.
Are you in the market for a new car? I was, and I ended up at Don Brown Chevrolet here in St. Louis. Don Brown is famous for saying they are on King's Highway at the entrance to the hill. And I went to Don Brown Chevrolet, and salesman Ben Yates answered all my questions. He went the extra mile and helped me understand what the process was like. And then he got me perfectly situated in my brand new Chevrolet Trailblazer. I hate buying cars. I hate all the back and forth. And Ben Yates at Don Brown Chevrolet took all the manipulation out of it, helped me find the car I wanted and really that I needed. If you're looking for a new car, go to Don Brown Chevrolet, but not just to that great dealership. Call 314-474-0270 and ask for my new friend, Ben Yates. There's a picture of Ben and me and my brand new car on our website, valleyhoopsinsider.com. Low pressure, great service, helpful to a fault. Let Ben Yates at Don Brown Chevrolet know you heard about it from me, Harry Schrader, at valleyhoopsinsider.com. You have Lindenwood and SEMO on the road here, and then you finish with Tennessee Tech and Tennessee State. And I know, coaches, it's just the next game. You don't care about all those other ones. I know how you guys talk. But two on the road, two at home, and with everything really there to get with the OVC, the first two teams get that double bye, and the third and fourth place teams get a bye. This is crucial, these last four games.
Yeah, and they really are, and you can't hide from it. The truth is we got practice today, and we got to have great practice. Our guys, for some reason, man, they love practice. Like, they love bone-on-bone contact. They don't want to walk through stuff. They want to get after each other, and It's been a fun way to coach. A little nervous sometimes before games, but this is a group that absolutely embraces that. And obviously you can talk about tiebreaker scenarios and this or that, but you know, the truth is our league's going to get one team in the NCAA tournament, and we've got to be playing our best basketball going to that thing in Evansville. So whether we're a 1, 2, 3, 4 seed, obviously there's some benefits to it, but the truth is we got to be playing our best basketball. And every day for the last, 32 days, we've walked in and we've gotten better, and that's got to continue the next 2 weeks.
You go to Lindenwood on Thursday, and you have to not feel for Coach Gerdeman, but you know what he's going through because they're trying to build something kind of from scratch as well, coming out of the Division II level. The key to what you had to do there is all about talent acquirement. Is that even a word? Acquirement? Anyway, getting talent in there as well as building the right culture.
Yeah, and again, we've got really good coaches in this league, and Kyle's a tremendous coach. He's won a lot of games. It's a tough time to transition from Division II to Division I, and I think sometimes that newness wears off from year one to two. And man, they got good players up there. He's going to get that thing going in the right direction. There's no doubt about it. But that transition period is tough for everyone, coaches, players. I'm sure admin. But yeah, I mean, obviously the first thing is we've got to have great talent, and you got to have great talent. You got to retain it. You've got to recruit it, and then you got to get them to work together. And there's just so many factors when you're in that transitioning stage that, no discredit. They are playing their tails off every time. They've got a great game plan. We've got to go up there and play well if we're going to find a way to win on the road.
Yeah, they signed one of the top junior college guys in the country, and he went down the second day of practice, missed the whole season, and so it's very fluid. And speaking of fluid, you're at SEMO on the weekend. They won the conference tournament a year ago, and here they are near the bottom. I mean, it's of the OVC. It's difficult, isn't it, to maintain success and to build it and to allow it, because they lost a bunch of guys in the portal as well. It's just, you mentioned a difficult time to transition. It's a difficult time for college basketball coaches to keep their rosters together and to build forward.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like any profession though, right? You got to figure a way to grow and adapt. And if this is what the game's calling for, then as coaches, we got to be the best versions of ourselves and try to figure out, who can we retain? What do we want our culture to look like? Is it reality of having a bunch of guys that are here 4 and 5 years and redshirting guys and building programs? I think we would all like that. I don't know that that's the reality of the situation we're in. Mm-hmm. And I think, you can either embrace it or you can kind of, turn a different eye. And for us, everyone talks about the portal, but we've got KJ Simon, we've got Parker Stewart, we've got Jordan Sears, we've got Issa Muhammad. So the portal's been pretty good to us. Now, would we love to get some, but in the same breath, we've got guys, Kobe Jeffries, David Kamwanga, KK Curry, those guys have been here 3 years. So I think there's a fine line. We've signed a really good high school player from up the road. So we're working to have as good a culture and good as program as we can. But I think you've got to have your non-negotiables, and then you got to have areas where you're willing to be flexible in your approach. And I think you can still have a great culture. I think you can still have a great program. It just may look a little different than it did, 2 or 3 or 5 or 10 or 15 years ago.
You talked about the ebb and flow of a season. You guys are 10-2, I think, at home. And those two losses came back-to-back to Eastern Illinois and Western Illinois back in January. Was that one of the – I don't know if ebb is good or flow is good, but was that one of the bad flows or ebbs?
Well, it's a lot of people say, man, Coach, if you don't lost those home games, you would be first. Well, hey, what? If we didn't lose those home games, we may have not made some adjustments. We may have not gotten better as a collective unit. So I think everything happens for a reason. Give Western and Eastern Illinois credit. They came in and handed it to us. They got us on our home court. But I think from that, after that Western Illinois loss, and then we took a tough one to Moorhead, I think we've been more bought in. I think we've coached the guys better. I think we've made some adjustments that you're seeing that, I wish we didn't have those losses, Harry. But the truth is, I'm glad the way we're playing. That's way more important than a couple losses, a month or two ago.
When I think about your league, and there's so many of the coaches I've gotten to know, somewhat and have great respect for them. Are there one or two coaches in this league that you would consider the guys the best or guys you're closest to?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've got a pretty good synergy of coaches in the league. You know, obviously Preston's been here, you know, I think been here the longest, and you know, he does a good job kind of representing our league. Got a chance to know him pretty well when I was at Bethune-Cookman. But, you know, I a lot of these guys, man, I think, you know, Chad up at Western Illinois is great. I love Penny Collins and Brad Korn. I mean, I've got relationships with a lot of these guys. And, you know, for 40 minutes, I don't want them to do well. I want to beat them. But I do, you know, like I said, I'm going to go up. I enjoy Kyle Gerderman up at Lindenwood. You know, I think we've got a good, healthy connection of coaches. And you know, I think it's only going to continue to get stronger.
When I, you know, the rage in college basketball is all of the metrics and the numbers and are you this efficiency rate and all those kinds of things. I went over the non-metrics. What I mean is just the raw stats. And you lead the league in scoring, in at least in conference games, maybe overall. But in nothing else do you guys, do I look up and down the stats and go, ah, Skyhawks. Oh, the Skyhawks. It really is more about what you can do in a given game and how your team performs together rather than stepping back and trying to do it with all the numbers. Am I right?
You know, it's funny you say that because if you would say, hey, up until January 18th, man, what were the Skyhawks and what type of team are you? Well, all we could do is score. We played really fast and we scored. We just sometimes we'd guard, sometimes we didn't. and it wasn't for lack of emphasis. We just couldn't collectively figure it out. And when you look at our last eight games, with the exception of at Little Rock, you know, it was tough three games in 6 days. We have been elite defensively. And so we went from arguably one of the worst defenses in the league to having a top one, two or three defense. And I think that is, you know, just it's a collection of guys understanding how we want to play and fixing it for each other and having each other's back. And so that's been the biggest thing for us is our offensive numbers. Obviously we score 88 against Moorhead. You know, we're still very capable of getting out and getting hot. But we've really been really good defensively this last month of the season.
You're going to get to Evansville, obviously here in a couple of weeks. Talk about that tournament and the pressure that comes with it. And how much do you enjoy the Ford Center and the whole Evansville experience?
Well, I think they do it right. And I think it starts with, you know, some people disagree with this, but I think the seeding that they do by having your top two teams get a double bye, I agree with that. I think it's the right thing to do. I think you reward some regular season, you know, success. But I think that Evansville, you know, it's a central location. I think they do a great job making us feel like it's a big time conference tournament. You know, the pressure of win and go home is awesome. I mean, like I said, we're going to be a one bid league this year. And for us, I like it because these next four games, you know, it's not, you know, lose or go home, but there's something on the line. I think we're getting a little taste of what March is going to feel like and have our guys have their back against the wall a little bit. So I think the overall treatment of the people from Evansville, I think the Ford Center is tremendous. Just like to stay one day longer this time.
Final thought. The postseason awards will be coming out and make a case for Jordan Sears being the player of the year in the league. I know Riley Minix will be in that conversation and maybe others, but talk about Jordan in the idea of him being the player of the year.
Well, I think, and I've been very adamant about this. I think the player of the year should go to the best player on the best team. And I think, you know, depending on what happens these next couple weeks, you know, we've got a chance to have the best player on the best team and what Jordan's done, not just from a statistical standpoint, from a leadership standpoint, from turning around our season standpoint to being 3-3 to maybe having a chance to win the league. He's as tough as they come. He's a heck of a leader. His numbers jump off the charts, you know, 20 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. And he does it on the other side of the ball too. He's a heck of a defender. You know, he's an all around winning basketball player for a team that has a chance to win a conference championship.
And Mr. Minix isn't bad, is he? I interviewed him last week. Dude's a guy. I mean, like, I really liked him as a person, but man, can he ball?
Dude, he's really, really, really good. I got great respect for him. He can score it inside out. The biggest thing, though, man, he's just tough. Like, he's a tough matchup. He's going to continue to play. He's going to play 38, 40 minutes a night. He's going to give you everything he's got. He's leaving. He's emptying the tank. He's just getting better and better, and he was a heck of a matchup for us. And man, he's going to obviously have a chance to be player of the year in this league as well.
Wish you all the best. Appreciate the time today. And I really want the Skyhawks to go far, man. I hope you have a great finish.
Thanks so much, Harry. Appreciate it.
That's Ryan Ritter. He's the head coach at UT Martin. The Skyhawks 17-10. They're one game out of first place. I think it's a three-way tie for second, third, and fourth. It's going to be a great finish in the OVC. That'll do it for this one. Remember, since you've been there, make it a better place. We'll see you again real soon. Ryan, thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, man.
Hey, I have a different question, unrelated. Let me end this. Unrelated to... Thanks for listening to the Valley Hoops Insider Radio Show and Podcast. Don't forget to visit our friend Ben Yates at Don Brown Chevrolet. He's a great salesman with great products. That's Ben Yates at Don Brown Chevrolet. The 1.8 Project, it's a missions organization. They're helping special needs and terminally ill children in West Africa. And you should join the Upside app I have, and you'll get cash back on gas, groceries, and a whole lot more. Use the invite code Harry5474. Thanks for listening, and remember, since you've been there, make it a better place. We'll see you again real soon.